This is Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Live from Seahawks training camp, powered through the Alaska Airlines studio.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Well, the trade deadline has come and gone, and some hand-wringing going on about what the Mariners did do, what they didn't do. Here to get everybody sorted out is our favorite Bogan, joining us on the Issaquah Pest Control Hotline. The one, the only, Ryan Roland Smith is here. What's going on, man?
Not much. Are you giving me that job? Am I the one who's going to come and set it all straight, am I? Is that
yeah.
what's going to happen?
You are the voice of reason, Ryan.
Yeah. Right, we're just going to go like this. We're just going to say, Ryan, what happened? And then you're going to explain everything in detail.
Let's do it.
Well, what do you make of let's go back, because the we obviously spent a fair amount of time talking about the Graveman deal, and that for me is, I was telling Dave today, was not so much about Graveman himself that I as a Mariner fan was upset about. It was the timing of it was just brutal, Ryan. I mean, they take three of four from the A's. They close within. What were they, a game at that point? Then they come back in the most improbable of ways to beat the Houston Astros. And you were, I mean, that for a regular season game, that was a playoff game. I mean, the electricity, the conversation, everybody just full of joy. And, hey, this team is special. There's something going on here. And then that same night you hear, yeah, we traded away our best bullpen arm to the team that we just beat that's across the field. That it was more about the timing of it and why would you do that now as opposed to how could you trade that particular individual? What was your reaction?
Well, I think, and actually, which he really doesn't have to do, but he is very transparent. Jerry did mention the fact that in order to get that deal done, as much as it sucks as from a human element, on paper it made sense. When Montero is after his last day where they can try and trade him, after you get DFA'd, you basically have X amount of days a team to trade you, otherwise you go on waivers. So I think for that deal to get done, Montero was, which is very ironic, quite a big part of that. From a player's standpoint, man, it's a shock. It's a huge shocker when you get that news, because Kendall Graveman obviously has had a huge impact on a lot of these guys. And in that clubhouse, take away the young guys for a second, you know, whether it be Kelnick, Kyle Lewis, they're a year in the big leagues. I'm talking about Marco Gonzalez comes over, you know, who was very vocal about it. He comes over 2017. Here he is now. He's got the news a couple of years ago that they're going to rebuild or reset or however you want to quote whatever it was. And then Kyle Seager has been here for 10 years, so on and so forth. So there's Mitch Haniger throwing him in that group as well. So some of these guys are hanging out with Kendall Graveman, who's another veteran, who obviously has just really invested in this team. He really has. He said, look, I'll go in this bullpen. He's had some success. He's helped out other guys, everything else. And then, boom, see you later. Shocker. Off he goes. There was tears. Everyone's emotional. So it's tough, man. When you're a player in those shoes, being one of his buddies, or when you're really just dying to get close, we're so close to being competitive, and then you see that, you're like, really? But then when you take if I'm going to take my player's hat off here a little bit, that role that Kendall Graveman had, first of all, he had some serious limitations. One, he could barely pitch back-to-back, right, because of health concerns. Number two, he's a free agent at the end of this year. So you are going to move him. They were going to move him regardless. Now, I think for them, that, you know, Toro, they've been looking at Toro for the last couple of years. And they've been looking at, you know, basically how can we upgrade the bullpen for someone in 2022. Because 2022 is all anyone's caring about in that front office right now. And I understand that. I understand why that is. They are on the outside looking in when it comes to – when I'm jumping all over the place here because there are a lot of notes about this written in front of me. But that's – they are concerned about 2022. It's clear as day. We've heard that. Whether it's you know, dropping hints 3 months ago or whatever it may be. This team is good and they're on a really nice run right now. But they are 8 games back in their division. What are you going to do? Give it up when you watch? Give up your farm system that you've worked extremely hard to build a base for this organization, just to maybe get a wild card spot? Maybe that's insanity. You ask anyone, and I know fans are probably rolling their eyes and are angry at me right now, especially when they're watching all these other moves go all over the place. But that, to me, is it just doesn't make sense. So it's kicking off with the Graveman thing. He was going to go. I'm sorry, but he was out of here. He was gone, whether you like it or not. The timing sucked if you're a player. But that was the situation, and that was the best option out there, and that's what they did.
So what do you make of the reactions? We read Ryan Divish's article that there were players in that locker room that were extremely upset, you know, some destroying equipment. They talked about Marco, you know, his eyes red from crying, others using the word betrayed, others ripping Jerry for not coming down from his office to even talk to the team and saying this is so typical. I mean, it just sounded like this was really poorly received by the guys that are the product, the players.
Yeah, well, I think when you're in position, and I never forget it, I was with the Cubs in spring training with them in 2012. Theo Epstein had just taken over. Now, that's a big market team. He walks in, you've got Alfonso Soriano sitting there, Ryan Dempsey sitting in that clubhouse, so on and so forth. He walked in that locker room, and I swear to God, he looked around and he basically said, look, guys, he was having a big, you know, team powwow, I think, at the beginning of spring training. He walked in and basically said, in different words, but I'm not here for this group in this room. I'm here for the guys who are over on that minor league clubhouse and the guys who are about to draft. And then I remember Ryan Dempster sort of put his hand up and said, thanks, Dad. Thanks for believing in me. It was hilarious. But he was being flat out honest. Now, that's where Jerry DePoto, regardless of what you do as a GM, what moves you make, there is that element where you have to be able to communicate and you have to be able to reason and you have to be able to get on the same level as these players and get in that clubhouse face-to-face, explain to them exactly what you're doing. Now, he is really transparent with especially young players too. He's very public about how he feels about young players. But in a move like that, the one big priority at the top of your list is to get into that clubhouse, explain exactly how you feel about all this, what you're about to do, what you're looking at, and let the players speak, and you go back and forth. Because regardless of when we look at this on paper and say, look, are they competitive this year? And I can say that they're out of it or they're outside looking in, wild card, et cetera, et cetera. Regardless of that, you don't want August and September, some of the veteran guys in this team, whether it's, and I'm not saying this is what they're going to do, but to have these conversations where you all of a sudden you leave this year on a bad note and all that those kind of vibes and that kind of culture then goes on to some of these young players, the kids who come up in September, for example, and they're like, oh, man, this is this organization. Maybe I don't want to be here. The other part you don't want as well is for Kyle Seager, Marco Gonzalez, who are friends with everyone around this league. If Jerry, as you mentioned before, wants to try and make a big splash this offseason, you don't want those free agents who you're trying to sign hear from their buddies who are with that organization and be like, well, you know, man, do I really want to sign here? What's up with the Seattle Mariners? So that's super important. I think from that aspect, that's a priority that he has to, on the players, get on the same level and make sure they communicate exactly what his intentions are.
All right, so they did get some pitching help back, Ryan. What can you tell us about, first of all, Diego Castillo traded for Chargois and Austin Shenton, and pretty good closer there, so that kind of eased the pain for Mariner fans a little bit, I guess.
Yeah, I really like that move. I like it. Now, I have heard, I'll get to this in a second, I have heard some negative take on Castillo here in a second. But when you're comparing to Graveman in that position, here's a guy who has been in that position since 2018, been dominating, pitched in some really high leverage situations, pitched in the playoffs, and had minimal arm injuries. He had a little shoulder inflammation back in 2019. He throws 98 with sink. Love it. I think if they can get with him, and this is some of the little red flags that pop up, that he doesn't stick to a good workout program in the off season, he kind of gets lost in that regard. If the Mariners can get with him, like some of these other younger players they have, and say, look, we want you to be in the closer next year, but this is what it's going to take for a 22, 23, and you're going to have to get in shape, and you're going to have to be healthy, et cetera, et cetera. If he can look him in the eye and say, yeah, great, I'm a part of that, awesome. I think that's a great move. I love that move. The Castillo move, awesome. Austin Shenton, I don't know a whole lot about him. I was texting him. He was going to work out. He was going to come coach at my baseball camp, but he got called up to Double-A, so that's all I know about good old Austin. So they didn't give up a whole lot for him. And then you're talking Tyler Anderson. Look, they needed starting pitching. That's not the flashiest name. It's not Max Scherzer. I get it. But, man, this guy's having a really good year, and he's got some of the good, boring numbers that you like where he gets a huge amount of chase outside the strike zone. He has a really good changeup. He's able to get you deep in the games. He hasn't gone less than 5 innings per start. So I like that move. The only thing I don't like about that move, we talk about 2022 a lot, he's a free agent at the end of this year. So you kind of, you know, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense from that regard. But those two guys, good pickups. Look, I know the Mariners didn't go crazy, and you're watching all these other teams go absolutely bananas, giving up their farm systems to go nuts here in 2021. But for some of those names, I think they're good moves.
Yeah, well, I see 6'3", 240. Diego Castillo, a big fella. He's a big fella.
I've got him at 250 on this page here. So, yeah,
he looks 270.
He's 1 foot off the scale if he's gone 240. I think. Yeah.
Well, what is it you heard? Because I immediately am looking at his numbers, looking at the fact that they've got control of him for a few years, and going, okay, Tampa Bay's in front of you. They are currently a wild card team who is going for it. Why would they give up their closer who's pitching well, has got 14 saves on the year, and the ERA that he does? It makes you scratch your head for a team that's in the mix and going for it and in a better spot than the Mariners are right now.
Yeah, no, I hear you with it. I think because they do have a little bit of a surplus there, and to the points I just made as well. With them, maybe they're looking at him saying, well, we've seen breaking down in a couple of years. He's not staying in shape, or you know, he's ruffled feathers with coaches. You hear that all the time, by the way. They're willing to give up on players because there's a certain, you know, relationship that isn't good, or something goes on. I'll give you a perfect example. The Phillies just traded for Kyle Gibson. So a young Australian kid who I've worked with a lot, who I helped him with the signing with the Phillies, he got traded over the Rangers. He also got traded with another prospect who Josh was telling me about, this kid who's just attitude sucked and the coaches didn't like him a whole lot. But sometimes when you come to a new place and you get with someone, J.P. Crawford with Perry Hill has that coach. If Castillo can get on the same page with someone and they say, look, man, you're very talented, let's get in shape and let's do your thing, let's be a part of this, well, then all of a sudden you got yourself a nice little asset.
My fear in all of this is that the Astros figure out how to fix Montero. That somehow, all of a sudden, this guy, and Dave and I talked about it, that they, you know, they wanted him.
It'll never happen, Bob. Never happen.
Wouldn't that just feel like, of course that's how it goes. All of a sudden, he's an all-star, and he's just shutting guys down left and right.
Well, you've seen that with other players who have left the Mariners, right? They go somewhere else, and they figure it out.
Chris
Here's
Taylor.
The thing with that.
Yeah.
Perfect. Exactly. Chris Taylor. Everyone says, oh, Chris Taylor, they should never have gotten rid of him. Chris Taylor was never going to be the Chris Taylor while he's with the Seattle Mariners.
Yeah.
He got with someone and something clicked. That's just the way it goes. The same as Montero. Hey, you wish him all the best. If it works out, have at it. The one thing I do want to say about this I haven't mentioned yet is, now, here's the drawback on not making the moves. This is my negative take on not making the moves at the deadline. Now, everyone talks, and Jerry's talked about this offseason, going into 2022. It is not that easy. You've got 29 other clubs fighting for some of these big names out there to sign. Mm. So this is a time, if there is that big name, or that you want to spend some money or whatever, what have you, this is the time to get them, because the player doesn't have that much of a say or control as they do in free agency. So that's going to be a huge test this offseason. It's not automatic, hey, I'm just going to throw a boatload of money and get five guys. It's not that simple. The player has the choice, plus you're competing with every other team. And like we've seen over this trade deadline, that teams are ready to go bananas here. We saw that at the end of 2019, players all of a sudden were back to signing these long-term deals with a lot of money. Strasburg, Gerrit Cole, Rendon, all these names. So it's going to be a really competitive offseason as well. So that's the one drawback. I think if you can get them now as part of a trade, and all of a sudden they can't control as much because the team has more control because they want to ship you off, and then you all of a sudden get him in your system, and then you can have him if they're under team control the next couple of years.
That's a great point. Hey, just kind of a general question. So I was watching Tyler Anderson, and that they were saying he kind of has this little awkward pause. So, you know,
yeah.
I don't know, Kikuchi kind of has something, is it like a little double leg kick?
It's just Kershaw.
It's kind of like, you know, the batters, they all have their different things that they do. How does a pitcher develop that? I mean, are you just trying a whole bunch of different things? Is it just something that he's done forever? Did you have anything like that? I mean, it's interesting how everybody has a little bit of a different, you know, approach.
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, Yusei Kikuchi in Japan, they really teach getting to that balance point slow and then driving off that back leg once you're at the, you know, the apex of your leg kick. Clayton Kershaw developed that little down and go. If you've seen Clayton Kershaw pitch recently, or his whole career, basically, kind of has that little hesitation and goes. Mm-hmm. I think with Tyler Anderson, and this is something I'd be curious to ask him, a lot of it comes from when you're in a bullpen session. you know, you're doing your thing, and you're trying to get back to being balanced, and you're trying to get back to getting your arm, letting your arm catch up, staying over your back leg. Sometimes you do these drills, like, man, this feels amazing just pitching like this. If you have that stop at the top type thing, I wasn't big at doing that. I need to get full speed down the mound. So when you watch a guy like that, and that's something that naturally from when you're 12 years old, even they can have that little hitch and go. Like Arthur Rhodes, if you remember him, had a little hitch with his leg kick. So a lot of that is more of getting on that backside, making sure you balance and make sure you're using, you know, basically 90% of your driving leg to get off the mound. And sometimes, man, you do these drills in the bullpen, you're like, man, just like Clayton Kershaw, this feels amazing doing this little drill. I'm just going to do this in the game. And then off you go, and you know, next thing you know, you're doing it in the big leagues.
Well, and we saw, who was the pitcher the other night for the Astros that he looked like he never stopped moving? He was ponytail.
It was Diaz.
Blanking on his name. But I don't know. His was incredibly unique, Ryan, where he looked like he'd take a step back, forward, take another step back. Like there just wasn't ever that set moment. I was waiting for him to get called for a buck because he never looked like he totally got set. You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I'm just looking through their roster. I'm trying to.
I know. I wrote it down in my notes the other night because I was thinking the same thing. Like you said, Bobby, just he was always moving.
Yeah, yeah. One of the more unique deliveries I've seen.
Well, one of the things now, you know, back that used to be the old way to do. Hey, stay back, and on that back leg. Now guys want to try and mimic like they're crawl hopping down the mound, where they're going full speed too. Where it's like the complete opposite, you know, to where you're just flying down the mound. So, and the other thing too, and like Johnny Cueto does that little, you know, that little trying to throw you coming off. So does Marcus Stroman, and so does some of these other guys, which is extremely hard to do, man. When you are moving that fast, and every little millisecond, millimeter changes your timing and sequencing through your delivery. What Johnny Cueto does is not easy. Everyone says, why doesn't everyone just do what he does? Because it throws the timing off. It is not easy to do at all and throw a pitch at 100% capacity. That's for sure.
I like when you see athletes succeed with something unique and you're just like, well, why doesn't everybody just do that? everything's just so easy. Oh, I never thought of that. That just makes life easier. I think it's Luis Garcia, by the
way.
It
is Garcia.
Oh, yeah. He's fast down the hill. Exactly. Yeah, that's what I thought you were thinking. You're talking about. I was wondering if you're talking about someone with a little hitch.
No, it's just...
You remember...
He's just constant movement.
Example, remember Carter Capps? He used to have that big jump off the mound and pitch, and they made it illegal.
Yeah,
but everyone's like, oh, he used to do the skip off the mound and pitch. Everyone's like, oh, that should be illegal, and they actually did make it illegal. But wasn't everyone trying to do that? It's so hard. But you're throwing 95 miles per hour, and you've been doing things a certain way since you were 16, 17 years old, and you've been making tiny little tweaks, and then you try and do something like that. It's so tough to do. Everyone just thinks it's automatic. It's not. That's for sure.
Hey, so Ryan, were you ever part of anything like that? I was kind of reminiscing in my career where there was a trade of a guy named Dave Brown that pretty much it upset the locker room at the time. But we had a pretty veteran group, whereas this is a pretty young group because we were sitting there speculating on, okay, who broke the equipment? It would have to be a veteran, Bob. You know, we kind of narrowed it down. So, you know, maybe Seager, Haniger, Marco, who knows?
Murphy, maybe?
Yeah, maybe Murph, who knows? You know, whoever had a strong, attachment to him.
Yeah.
Murphy's probably the most psychotic and would probably do that.
He just looks that way. Maybe it was somebody else in the bullpen. Maybe it was Misevich.
Yeah, could be.
But, you know, it could have been someone who, like, slammed their bat into the wall and accidentally put it through the drywall and was like, oops. you never know. I just think that, like, yeah, okay, again, like I said, that core, we talked about this at the beginning of the conversation, and just I'll answer your question in one sec, because as a rookie it kind of happened in the clubhouse, but you know, again, guys get emotional because they're in it, and we can sit here all day, you know, and have these conversations about 2022 and all these teams rebuilding. If you're a player, you're competitive. Dave, you know this, man. You want to hear about – I don't care about these kids in AA. I don't care about them. Like someone asked me, I'll never forget, I pitched one of the last – I can't remember what year it was. It was one of the bad years I was here. And I pitched really well. And a reporter asked me, I can't remember who it was, like, were you thinking about getting the first pick in the draft for next year if you guys got the worst record in baseball? And I was about to smack him in the face.
Yeah,
are you
exactly.
kidding me? Like, no, I could care less about that kid. No offense, but – I mean, this is my career we're talking about here. Are you kidding me? And I'd expect them to be the way about me. Now, back to being in that situation, I was a rookie, 2007. I'd come up in, June? And so I was pitching pretty well, and the deadline was coming up, and there's all these rumors and everything else. And so I'm like, oh, man, for sure they're going to get three bullpen arms, and I'm going to go back to Triple A. Come in the day after, and this is pre, Twitter, and I'm going to sound like a dinosaur here, but it's pre, like, all this craziness, Jeff Passan throwing names out left, right, and center before they even happen.
Yeah.
So I come in the next day, and all these veterans, and I'm happy I'm still here. I didn't get optioned down. They didn't make any moves. And I'm sitting there, I'm stoked, man. I'm a rookie. I'm like, I don't have to go back to AAA. I'm still here. No one's taking my spot. But I'll tell you what, veterans on that team were, oh, man, I can't use the words, furious, put it that way. And I'm like, man, they're really upset. And it lingered on for a few days. I'm not going to lie. And it did affect the way we played. It really did. I think, after that, I think we had a series against the Angels who were right in front of us in the division, like a game or two. We got swept. And it did really linger on. Looking back now, I totally understand. I totally get why I'm so frustrated. I'm sitting there with this silly grin on my face in the bullpen going, yep, I'm going to get sent down. Great. While everyone else is upset about it,
Well,
so I think it depends who you are, but as a veteran player, when it's your time, it's your career, you're sort of peaking in your career, you want things to happen, and you want to play in the playoffs, man. We're going home at the end of the year and you shake everyone's hands and then you go watch these guys just have an absolute blast in the playoffs. There's nothing worse.
Do you think we saw a bit of a hangover in the Houston series, the final two games?
Yeah, I think so, for sure. I think there was a bit of that. There's a bit of, hey, we're really going for this and we're onto something here, and there's all this, everyone's excited, the crowd's pumped up, it's loud, and then you get this news, and you sort of look at each other, and everyone on the roster collectively is upset at their bosses, around the office, and so they look around and go, it's not a fun place to be, and it does seep into what you're doing on the field 100%, especially when you. In a close game where you're a couple runs back, like we saw that one night. And, there's just not that extra push or that extra, energy not saying guys aren't putting effort in, but it's just that feeling of like that spark that you really need. It was deflating for sure. I felt it for the players. That's for sure.
Ryan, as always, great stuff. We appreciate it. And we'll do it again next week.
Sounds great, guys. Thanks, appreciate it.
There you go. Ryan Roland-Smith with us every week talking Mariner baseball. Good conversation with him. Coming up, which team will be the biggest threat to the Mariners' playoff chances? We'll talk about that next with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Wyman and Bob.
Live from Seahawks training camp.
On 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Dave just got invited and uninvited to a party within 30 seconds.
This is a friend of mine. I'm pretty sure he's doing this to be funny. Sent an invitation and then sends a follow-up text. Let me read it here. Wait, please ignore that. That was meant for someone else. Sorry.
Considering the source, though, it may not be a joke.
I was invited and then uninvited.
Whoops, didn't mean to invite you. Sorry, disregard. Disregard.
I don't want to come to your party anyway.
All right. Coming up in the next segment, less than 15 minutes away from Mean Text. So you guys text in your best shot, 710-710 to the Mac and Jacks text line. We've got Mariners baseball, the pregame show coming up at the top of the hour as they get set to take on the Texas Rangers. So that's coming up at 4 o'clock. Meanwhile, which of these teams, Dave, do you think is going to be the biggest impediment to the Mariners'
Oakland
playoff chances? All right. Let's start Mean Text right now.
Sorry, go ahead.
I've already seen some people answering the Mariners.
Oh.
Will be the biggest impediment to their playoff chances. But you look at where they're sort of surrounded by teams that were aggressive and made moves, right? You got Tampa Bay and Oakland occupying the two wild card spots currently. Yeah, Mariners are right behind them, 2.5, but right behind the Mariners are the Yankees who were aggressive and the Toronto Blue Jays who were aggressive. So you got four teams surrounding you, top two above you, two below you, and all of them were making moves.
Yeah, and I want to say Oakland also got Starling Marte.
Yep.
I don't know how big of a deal that is, but they did get Andrew Chafin. So, Yeah, I feel like no matter what, just because I hate the A's, that they're going to be the team that are in the way. But yeah, you're right. It's kind of discouraging. I think that's one of the reasons why fans are probably not too excited about this. But I still say, you know, because, you know, there's all these teams making moves that are right there in the wild card hunt. But I still say that people would be much more upset if they traded away prospects. And just all of a sudden, because that would be all of a sudden, you would just kind of be turning against what you have been preaching for the last couple, 3 years.
Yeah. Again, I think it depends in what kind of deal. If it's for a for now guy, certainly I'm with you. Yeah. If you're trading for a guy who's good, but he's a free agent at the end of the season. Yeah, you're right. But if they were able to trade for somebody who's got 2-3 years left on his deal and is already an established player, that's different.
Well, it's got to be a multi-year deal. It can't be some kind of patchwork thing. So it'll be interesting to see how this this, you know, because they're going to get a chance to go up against two of them on this road trip, Tampa Bay and the Yankees. And so, and there are teams that just added, and you know, and they've got more to come with the Oakland A's down the road. So, but I just, you know, it's kind of interesting when Ryan Roland Smith, what he said, I thought was really explained why things weren't, you know, things weren't all hunky dory in the clubhouse after this whole trade period. Is because you're not, it's like, you know, I said this earlier, it's like asking an NFL team to tank so they can get the number one pick. You don't care about who's getting picked. You don't care about the draft. You don't care about any of that stuff. And just for the Mariners, they don't care about the future or whatever. It's right now. You know, this thing, ask Mitch Haniger. I mean, it can end at any moment. And he kind of got a glimpse of that. So, yeah, I hope that doesn't, you know, much less than the talent that Graveman had, I worry more about the chemistry, and that this team, are they going to be able to bring it together? Here's the one thing, though. You, as a team, sometimes you can kind of rally against, not a coach, but sometimes if it's management or ownership or something like that. I mean, this whole Kendall Graveman might actually bond these guys even tighter because, mm-hmm. you know, they feel like it's kind of us versus them. You know, somebody was saying that they should get a cardboard cutout of Jerry DePoto and put it in the clubhouse.
Like Major League.
Like Major League. You know, and that's kind of what that team did, right?
Mm.
So, but, you know, obviously Jerry's not trying to, you know, sink the franchise.
Yeah, she wanted them to lose.
She wanted them to lose.
I don't think Jerry wants that.
No, I don't think so either. And I think Jerry has done a really good job. And I think right now they're going to get over it. And hopefully sooner rather than later when they go on this road trip.
Yeah, I'm really curious because we asked Ryan, hey, do you think there was a hangover in those last two games against the Astros? And he said emphatically, without question, he thought it was,
yeah.
that they were just deflated, and it made sense. Seeing the teams around him, as we said, the two teams in front of him, Tampa Bay and Oakland, they were pretty aggressive, and then the two teams right behind them, and I'm looking at the wild card standings, the Yankees and the Toronto Blue Jays, really aggressive. So if you're in, and we just saw how they were impacted by a move, I would not be surprised to see this team start to see the air come out of the balloon a bit. If they feel like, hey, look at everybody around us got aggressive and made moves to make a charge, and you didn't show that level of faith in us, whether it makes sense to them or not, whether they're thinking about future prospects and, hey, we don't want to trade away the future for right now. Some of those guys like Seager are thinking, I'm here right now. I've been here for a decade. I mean, I'm not going to be here next year. And who knows what, you know, how Murphy feels or how Marco feels or some of the veterans that have been there who may be looking at this as, hey, this is my opportunity now, and you didn't give me the ammunition. Is there going to be a flatness to it? Are we going to see this team sort of fall back? If we're asking which of these teams is the biggest impediment, I mean, by the end of the season, I could see this looking like Tampa Bay, Oakland, New York, Toronto, and Seattle behind those four teams when it's all said and done.
Well, the one thing I'll say about this, though, I think no matter what, let's say this team naturally was going to correct, you know, towards, they're 7 games above 500 right now with a minus 58 run differential. So, and they got it down to like 52 at one point, but then the two games.
We're in the 40s there.
Yeah, with Houston. And that's right back up there again. So maybe this thing is going to correct, and these guys are, you know, they're going to kind of regress to the mean. You're going to blame this whole thing no matter what, right? I mean, I feel like that's one of the things that's kind of working against, Jerry and, you know, the way the fans, the sentiment, oh, let's go back to when they traded Kendall Graveman, when this may have just been a natural correction.
But that goes against what we've been saying, that at this point, over 100 games played, you see who this team is. It's not, hey, is this fool's gold? Are they just hot? Are they getting lucky? Are they, you know, they're not winning in fluky ways. This is who they are. And we talked about the run differential being, yeah, it's a measurement, but it's not the end all be all by any stretch. And we go through and these last two games are perfect examples. When they lose, they tend to get their butt kicked. You know, it just tends to happen. There have been some really lopsided losses throughout the season. When they win, I mean, we've talked about their record in one run games, close games. I mean, that's just how they win. So that run differential really gets blown out of proportion as it relates to their win and loss record. So to me, it really doesn't tell the story of the team this year. So I don't feel like, well, they were going to eventually show their true colors and become who they are. I think we've seen who they are. I don't think that tells the story of who they are.
Okay, so if they start to lose, you think it's going to be?
I think it's going to be a response to what?
Because of the response.
I think they're already on edge with the front office about the timing. Mm. And I think the fact that maybe, you know, they feel like they should have been more aggressive or given them more to move forward with and they didn't. That could be a deflating move. It wouldn't surprise. I'm not saying it's what's going to happen. It wouldn't surprise me, though. All right, coming up, you still have a couple of minutes left. 710-710, the Mac and Jack's text line. Mean text coming your way next with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Doesn't matter how long the show is, Dave. 4 hours, 1 hour, 2 hours. We find time for your mean texts.
It's very important to Mike Lefko.
It really is. What do you think he likes more, food?
Ooh,
or mean texts?
That's a good one.
Because they both make them smile.
It's definitely food.
Mean texts while eating?
That's your in heaven right there. You're just like, this is perfection.
Wasn't that George Costanza's dream? He wanted to have sex while he was eating?
Yeah. He's trying to incorporate it. What are you doing?
Let's not do that. Let's just try mean texts with, how about next week I'll bring in the wax cheese
for him. You going to peel it for him?
He'll peel it.
Well, is that a good transition to get into all the Cody Barton texts?
Oh, boy.
Are we still doing that?
I think Dave's starting to fatigue.
Even Moyer is jumping on the bandwagon.
Yeah, Moyer took to Twitter yesterday. He seemed excited about the idea of, I think he was soliciting opinions as to where they should go on their date.
What I would say to Paul is, you're not funny, Paul. Paul is the Mike Zunino of joke makers.
Is that right?
When he gets a hold of one, it's going to go 500 feet, but there's lots of strikeouts.
There's a lot of swings and misses in there. Yeah. Okay.
Will you agree it hit its peak, though? I think now it's all done. But the fact that we got the interview,
we got
in
Cody.
Person.
Yeah. And I admitted to Cody.
Yeah.
That,
see, that's what did it. Yeah,
there might be some awkwardness between us now. No, I'm kidding. All right. What do you got?
You explaining it is what kind of made it a little uncomfortable. And that's when some texts came in. So
I'm not uncomfortable at all.
That's good then. All right. 509 said, well, Dave admitting his love, thing just got weird.
Yeah.
206. Good time for a commercial for Dave after that interview. 425. Way to shoot your shot. Very proud of you. And when Cody Barton didn't show up until about 15 minutes late, oh no, poor Dave's getting stood up by Cody Barton.
The best was the one we read yesterday when they said we should have been playing the dating game theme song when we introduced him.
Didn't want to make him feel awkward, though, or else I would have.
Yeah. He would have been just confused. I'm sure. What is this?
He thought it was funny. Yeah, you know, I remember after the Ty France comment, you look 12 years old in your picture. Somebody wrote just two words, poor Dave. One of the texters was good.
That was good. All right, well, taking it all the way back till I think this was Monday, right, or Tuesday, our Mohawk versus Mullet discussion.
Oh, yeah.
The 253 said, go figure, the guy without hair doesn't understand people with hair. I guess they didn't like your opinion on the Mohawk. They think the mullet is the better one.
The guy without hair?
Who has no hair?
I have no hair. Is that you? You have shorter hair than all of us.
Bob has hair.
I have short hair, but I mean, I still have it.
Yeah.
It's still present.
Maybe that's the guy who likes your small head, too. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe they're... Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, so there was that one. All right, we have... Let's see. Okay, 503. There are some days the show should be called Whiner and Bob, some days Weiner Bob, and some days just both. That's from Jen in Beaverton.
Oh, Jen.
So you were equally whiny?
You rascal.
Some days we whine. Some days it's you, some days it's me, some days it's both.
What do we whine about?
I don't know.
Anything, maybe how hot it is?
Anything we don't like?
We did whine about the heat. That's fair.
Lefko mostly is who we whine to.
Yeah, we didn't really do it so much on the air. Boy, that was brutal. So bad. I don't think people get it. There's something about that tent, the way it enclosed the heat. And we'd step out into the sunlight, and it would be 10 degrees cooler.
I'd like Lefko to come down there and do a show. He can wear his jorts.
Yeah.
I know that makes him laugh every time. Even if he had shorts on.
Oh,
yeah.
There's no reprieve.
Somebody was saying something about you guys should go shirtless, and I'm like, I'd rather go pantsless at this point in my life. I'm not going shirtless.
You could do they call it the Canadian tuxedo. You go all denim. You could go overall style, though. You go overalls and then the jorts. So
okay, we could do that. That would be really hot. Anyway, yeah, we were kind of complaining about the heat. What else we got?
Okay, so someone said, all right, 253. We're really rushing into Mean Text today. All right, got to get these out. Karate Boy, bleep you. Onion Girl, bleep you. Little Dumper, bleep you.
I guess I'm Onion Girl. Yeah. You're Karate Guy.
And Karate Boy.
Boy.
Yeah. Karate Boy, Onion Girl, and what was the last one?
Little Dumper.
Little Dumper.
Little Dumper, that's
you. Where we'd established that was going to be Lefko's nickname, opposite of Cal Raleigh.
Onion Girl.
Yeah, I don't like onions, and I just don't like them. And Danny O'Neill has turned it into this that I'm not very tough. You know, he thinks he's a big NFL ex-linebacker, but he can't even eat onions. Like, that's just not on the toughness scale. It gives me diarrhea, okay, Danny? How about that? And horrible burps.
All right.
You want some more description?
No, I think we're clear.
All right, then. Let's leave
the
onion thing alone, then.
And I don't blame
Very sensitive about it.
I don't blame you.
The 425. I was wondering why I was enjoying the show so much today. Then I realized I had the volume all the way down.
Ah, uh-huh. There you go.
Good one.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah. 360. Dave, I'm really concerned. I think you need real estate help. How can your house need work on its roof, its foundation, and its plumbing?
Wait, I don't have a plumbing.
I don't know. They just threw that in there.
Yeah, they're probably thinking of Salk.
Yeah, he's got
a roof foundation. Those are two most important parts of your home.
He's got plumbing. He's got rodents. He's got everything going on over there.
Hey, obviously nobody on the stream today. Otherwise, they would see my extreme Wooster pride.
Yeah, someone said they liked the shirt, though. That wasn't a mean text.
That looks like a fresh shirt. Did you get a new one?
I got it at the reunion a couple weeks ago. So, yeah, I came in here wearing this, and I told Jake Heaps that we would have whooped Skyline, and that Jake, if we had the Wooster team I played on would have played them, he would have been 10 for 25 with three interceptions.
509, in related news, Cody Barton requesting a trade after creepy sports talk radio hosts linger and have the urging.
He can't get through it.
No, I don't. The rest of the text rambled, but I was just looking at Dave laugh.
That was good. Brevity is key, okay? The key to humor, brevity. Yeah. So just keep it a little short. You're on the right track there. That was very funny.
I just like when he starts to fall apart at the end of it.
I fell apart because the text just then drifted away.
Sure, blame it on them.
It went multiple lines.
Blame it on our glorious texters. There was one earlier that said, don't try to get out of it by sucking up to the texters now. Because you were talking about how smart they were, and informative, and somebody called him out on it. Say, you're not getting away from the punishment.
Still going to hit us with the mean text. Yeah.
All right, that does it for us. Want to thank our guest today, Ryan Roland Smith, for joining us on the program. This week's edition of Get in the Cage features Kayla Harrison fighting in the PFL right now. Just absolutely dominant. If you missed anything and that conversation as well, head to the podcast page, 710sports.com. Click the podcast tab. Scroll down to our picture and click on that. And everything you missed is waiting for you right there. Have a great weekend, everybody. We will talk to you on Monday right here with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.